We come together to worship God, all of us, all loved, all called, all forgiven, for all our hope is in God. Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. Welcome to those who are here in the church building, welcome to those who are worshiping on Zoom, and welcome to those who are listening to this service as a recording at a later date. All are welcome. Our minister Amos asked the worship team to take the service this morning, and here I am. As I'm sure we're all aware, there are a number of people locally contracting the well-known C virus. That's as far as I'm going to go with that. And unfortunately, Hannah, our organist, is now one of them. We wish Hannah and all those currently isolating or recovering a speedy recovery, and our thanks go to my mum, Eleanor, who's standing in at the organ today. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. We start our service this morning by singing hymn 110, Glory Be to God the Father. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, which has no beginning and knows no end, that though we cannot see it or prove it, your love, even as we pray, is alive and active in the world that you have made. We thank you for the love which not only gave us life, but also in Christ gave us new life, new hope, and a new joy. For every moment when we are once more made aware of your irrepressible love and your extravagant mercy. For those who, by their words and deeds, have made Christ and his love real for us. For every opportunity you have given to us to speak of Christ and to name his name. We thank you for those whose kindness, generosity, and faithfulness have opened the door of faith and hope to others. For those whose lives are light in the darkness, stillness in the storm, strength in weakness, joy in despair, and Christ to their neighbor. For those who stand with the fallen, wait with the dying, comfort the grieving, enable the powerless to cope, and are Christ to those to whom you send them. Lord, how can we not thank you, praise you, and worship you? For you are our Savior, O God, in whose name we bring this prayer, and also the prayer your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, do we have some children here today that I can invite to come out the front, because I need just a little bit of help this morning? You guys can come and grab a seat. How are we all doing today? Good? We had a good week? Yeah? What's been the best thing about your week? All of it? You went to barbecue last night. Nice. Anybody else been up to anything exciting? You went to the barbecue as well? Fantastic. Right, so today I've got a few slides that we're going to see just up here in just a wee minute. And I want to see if you can help me with them. Okay, so the first slide. Now this is something written in Spanish. And I don't speak Spanish. Apologies to the choir who can't see these slides. Anyone speak Spanish? Does anyone know what that means? My sister speaks. Your sister speaks Spanish. Is she here today? No. Oh, she's not going to be a lot of help to us just now then, is she? No. Okay, let's try the next slide. Let's see if we do better with the next one. Ooh, from France, French. Can anyone help me with that one? Do you know what it means? Yeah. So, our God in heaven. Thank you, Amos, for coming this morning. Our God in heaven. Right, let's see about the third one. Let's see how we get on with the third one. German. Anyone speak German? Any ideas? Not down here. I've heard it in the congregation, so I'll come back. I'll come back to that in a little minute. What about the fourth one? Last one. It's a bit of a tricky one. That was a really tricky one, that one. From the Philippines. Anyone? No? So we know the second one was Our Father in Heaven. Isabel, what was the German one? Our Father in Heaven. Just about. So actually, all four of these mean Our Father in Heaven in their own languages. And do you know what? That's the start of something. That's the start of a special prayer. And we actually heard it a few minutes ago. Do you guys know what it was called? Ariel. Our Father in Heaven, it's called the Lord's Prayer. So when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, do you know what name he used for God? He used the word Abba, which means daddy, which is quite topical today because it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Jesus showed just how much he loved his Father in Heaven by calling him daddy. And Jesus' example shows us that we can talk to God as our Father, as our daddy too. So the next time you pray to God, start it with the phrase, Our Father in Heaven, to show that as we look on him as our Father, he looks on us as his children. So we're just going to say a short prayer, so let's bow our heads. Our Father in Heaven, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that you are always there and always listening. thank you for being our daddy. Amen. So before you guys go out to Sunday club, we are going to sing a song, and it's got actions. So I'm going to need you guys to stand up and help me. I think you know it. It's called God's Love is the Best Love That the World Has Ever, Ever Known. You've not done this one before. You'll pick it up. It's to the tune of the Flintstones. The choir, I'm sure, know the actions. The congregation, I'm sure, know the words and can join in with the actions. So let's all stand together and we will sing God's Love is the Best Love. And anyone who wants to join in with the actions is welcome.
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Proverbs 10, 1 to 12, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. Our next reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Luke 11, 1 to 13. Jesus teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Thank you.
Today, on this Father's Day, there were several options of who I could talk about, as there are so many fathers in the Bible. However, I decided to focus on my father. Sorry, Dad. Again, not you, but rather God. And again, there were lots of routes I could have taken this down. But instead, I've decided to focus on the Lord's Prayer and the meaning behind it. The Lord's Prayer is one of the most popular prayers in the Bible, and one that many churches, like us, recite every Sunday, and many believers know by heart. However, what does the Lord's Prayer mean? The disciples had watched Jesus pray, and when he had finished, they asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray as well." Luke 11:1. And Jesus responded with a prayer that we now call the Lord's Prayer. However, the Lord's Prayer was never meant to be a prayer that we should recite word for word, as if these specific words in this specific order have some sort of power and influence of their own. Instead, the Lord's Prayer was meant to be a guide or a template for how we should structure our own prayers. Think of the Lord's Prayer's meaning as a wonderful tool Jesus gave us to provide insight into what's truly important to God when we pray. In Matthew 6:9-13 and Luke 11:2-4, which Jane kindly read for us this morning, we find this popular passage of scripture that is widely known as the Lord's Prayer. So let's break it down. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The meaning behind how the Lord's Prayer opens is everything in regards to our true identity in Christ. Jesus tells us to begin our prayers by addressing God as our Father, because it is a constant reminder of our true identity as God's children. And in this spiritual family, we are sons and daughters of God, God's very own children. Jesus' desire for us to have an intimate and loving relationship with the Father that is one of childlike love and affection. Hallowed is an archaic way of saying that something should be made holy. By praying, "Hallowed be your name," you are saying that God's name is a holy name that should be revered, honored, and respected. Secondly, by beginning your prayer with "Hallowed be your name," you are beginning your prayer by praising his name, which is in alignment with Psalm 100, verse 4, which tells us to enter into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. It's a reminder that our God is a perfect, good, just, and holy God who deserves to be praised, not for what he's done, but simply because of who he is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The phrase, "your kingdom come," is saying that we should pray that the kingdom of God comes to earth. Now, the kingdom of God already exists in heaven, but as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the power and authority to call down heaven here on earth. In this verse, Jesus is telling believers that they should be declaring that the kingdom of God should be made manifest here on earth. However, you might be wondering, so how does the kingdom of God come to earth exactly? Great question. It comes through spreading the gospel to unbelievers. In fact, the rejoining of heaven and earth through the person of Jesus is what the story of the Bible is all about. Heaven and earth were once fully united, then driven apart, and are being brought back together again through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your will be done. The kingdom of God comes to earth when the perfect will of God is done on earth, just as it is done in heaven. This is a tough one, because for God's will to be done on earth, it requires us, the believers in Jesus Christ, to live our lives in complete obedience and surrender to his perfect will. Now, the reason this is so tough is because even for the believers who desire to do God's perfect will, we still experience the battle between the desires of our flesh and the desires of God. This battle between God's will and our will is what Paul is talking about when he says, "Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Romans 7:21 to 23. It's not easy, but we are called to lay down our own will, desires, and wants so they can be replaced with God's will, desires, and wants. Laying down our own desires can sound scary, uncomfortable, and nearly impossible, but that is why Jesus urges us to pray for this to happen. Jesus knows our weaknesses and knows that in order for us to do this, we can't rely on our own strength, but instead, we must rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. On earth as it is in heaven. This line is a constant reminder to all believers that God's perfect will is already happening in heaven, even though it is not always being done on earth. In heaven, angels are released when we pray because of the power and authority we carry as the sons and daughters of God. Because of this, you can have assurance that your prayer requests are heard and that all of heaven's armies are backing you as you make decisions and live your life in obedience to God's word. However, even if you don't see the fruition of your prayers being done in your life immediately, don't give up. Keep praying. We need to keep praying for God's will to be done on earth, because just like in the book of Daniel, you might not see the effect of your prayer immediately, but that doesn't mean your prayer wasn't heard immediately. So never give up. Keep pressing on. Give us this day our daily bread. By praying that the Lord gives us our daily bread, Jesus is saying that we should pray for our daily needs. So let's look at the order which Jesus instructs us to pray. We are to first praise our Heavenly Father, to enter his gates with praise and thanksgiving. Secondly, pray for the kingdom, for what matters the most to God, which is for his will to be done on earth, just as it is done in heaven. It is then that we should make our own personal requests to God. When we pray, we should treat the Father like a person and not like a magic genie. Think of it like this. If you were having a conversation with a friend, it would be rude to just have a one-way conversation where you talk only about yourself, right? Instead, it would be much more respectful to greet each other, maybe compliment their outfit, ask how their day is going, or how they are doing. It's the same with God. We should begin by praising him because he is worthy of our praise, and then we should ask him what's on his heart today. How can we pray for the kingdom today? Then we come to God and tell him what troubles our heart. There is no shame in asking God for the things we want. Never be afraid to ask God for what you want, whether big or small. Your heavenly Father loves you, and it is with his great joy to give you the great good gifts when you ask. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Matthew 7:11. And forgive us our trespasses, as we have also forgiven those who trespass against us. There are different versions of this phrase, including debts and debtors and sins and those who sin against us. But this verse is saying that when we pray, we are to ask God to forgive us for our sins, just as we forgive others for their sins against us. It's important to remember that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been saved, redeemed, washed clean of sin, and are a new creation in Christ. This means you are no longer dominated by your sinful nature, but are now controlled by the Holy Spirit, because you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling on the inside of you. However, you are also still a human being in a fallen world where you have to wrestle with and overcome your sinful nature on a daily basis. So even though you have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, helping you overcome sin, God also knows your limitations and where you might fall into sin occasionally, despite being born again. When this happens, our good and gracious Heavenly Father is willing and able to continue forgiving your sins, whether past or present, when you cry out to him for forgiveness. In the second part of this verse, we see an interesting correlation between us forgiving others and God forgiving us. The Bible actually says that if we refuse to forgive others for their sins against us, it can actually hinder the Lord from forgiving our sins against him. Mark 11:25 says, "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Again, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says this, "This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and are about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God." So what we see here is Jesus stressing the importance of reconciling ourselves with others first before we come to God asking for our own forgiveness. If you struggle to forgive, you are not alone. The deeper the wound, the harder it is to forgive. And the Lord knows that, which is why I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to help you forgive. Call out to him. Ask him to help soften your heart and allow you to forgive those who have sinned against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's hard to read this verse without thinking, does God really lead us into temptation? James 1:13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." So then, what does this verse really mean? All our experiences are tests from God, and all our experiences are also temptations from Satan. Our experiences fall into one of two categories. They are either positive and pleasant, or they are negative and associated with pain. If they are pleasant, they are a test from God, testing us to see if we will thank him for the blessings in our life, considering him better and more valuable than even our most beautiful blessings and experiences. However, Satan is also at work in the blessings of our life. Satan takes that pleasant experience and turns it into a temptation for us to ignore the Lord's goodness in our life and instead idolize it. So it's both a test and temptation. Will we thank God for the blessing in our life, keeping him first? Or will we take the blessing for ourselves and turn it into an idol? If it's a painful experience, God's test is to see if we will trust him through the experience. Will we trust in his wisdom and goodness despite our pain? Surrendering every hurt and frustration over to him and continuing to believe that he is a good God who is in control of all things. This is a true test of faith. However, what the devil wants is for us to blame and curse our Lord and Savior, tempting us to fall away from our faith and trust in the Lord. He whispers thoughts in our head like, "How could a good God allow you to go through something so painful?" The enemy's goal is to confuse and distort our perspective of God, calling into question if he really is a good and loving Heavenly Father. So you see, God wants us to trust him. The devil wants us to curse him. Taking into consideration that understanding of test and temptation, we ask, what does Jesus mean when he says, "Lead us not into temptation"? Well, we know that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, Matthew 4, verse 1. The Holy Spirit himself didn't tempt Jesus, the devil did. But Jesus was 100% led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. So God is not the one who does the tempting, but he does bring you into the presence of many tests and temptations. What this verse means is we should pray that through all of God's tests, which he does in fact lead us into, don't let us be ensnared by Satan's destructive temptation. Instead, deliver us from evil, creating in us a resilient faith and a perseverance to overcome every test and trial that comes our way. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Lastly, if you're curious about the line, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," you might be interested to discover that this line didn't exist in the earliest copies of the book of Matthew, which is why I have not spoken about it today. However, I do think it is a beautiful way to end this powerful prayer. To finish, I would just like to read again the Lord's Prayer. And as I do, I ask you to close your eyes, listen to the prayer, and think about the meaning behind it. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This next hymn we have only sung once in the past decade, but the words are very fitting for my theme today. I have chosen a more familiar tune, so let's join together in singing the hymn 546, Prayer is the Soul's Sincere Desire. We come before God with our prayers of dedication for the offering and intercession. Let us pray. Father, we bring you our gifts of money, which represent our time, our skills, and our service. We bring them with grateful thanks in the name of Jesus, your greatest gift to us all. We pray for those who demonstrate the love of God in the community, for those who go out each day in the knowledge that they are joining their energies with the God who is already at work in the world, for those who go out in expectation of meeting Christ in the lives of those who know him and of those who do not. May the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. We pray for those who proclaim the love of God, for those whose words and deeds faithfully declare the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit to make lives new. For those whose words of witness to their neighbors and colleagues come with the ring of truth and the cutting edge of personal experience, may the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. We pray for those who show the love of God in their work with the young and the old, for those whose loving care and genuine concern for the vulnerable and the innocent, the weak and the frail, the forgotten and the forgetful, is a reflection of the loving heart of God and the gentleness of Christ. May the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. We pray for those who witness to the love of God in the life of the church, for those whose words, deeds, and service are examples of compassion, hope, and understanding, for those whose service is always in the background, those who are never noticed and who serve without thought of reward. May the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. We pray for those who hold positions of trust and leadership, for those who offer care and faith to those in despair, for all pastoral visitors, youth workers, for those who serve in Sunday schools and youth groups, and for all who seek to name the name of Christ in word and deed. May the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. Lord of all creation, send us out in your name. We leave our prayers in the gentle hands of Christ and trust him to reach out in love. Amen. We bring our service to a close this morning with a hymn that, according to my dad's records, has not been sung at all in the past 13 years. But don't worry, the tune is another familiar one. It's hymn number 741, Glory to You, O God.
Thank you.
Father says, I have loved you from before you were born, and I will love you when life is no more. May the blessing of our ever-loving God and Father rest upon us and all whom we love this day and forevermore.